We have been preaching through the book of Ephesians. We're back in the book of Ephesians this week, and so we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. And so if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 7 through 14 this morning. The sermon title this morning is Walk as Children of Light. Walk as Children of Light. And so before we jump into the sermon, why don't I take a moment and pray for us? In case you're wondering, why do we pray so much? Why do we pray before we preach? Why do we pray before and after we read scripture? Why do we pray at the beginning of the service? And the answer is this. We recognize our utter dependence on the Lord to accomplish His work through us. We don't want to get caught up in the idea or the myth that we can live this life apart from Jesus. And so with that, let me pray for us this morning. Father, we want to beseech you this morning. Lord, all of us have had a week prior to today. There has been 6 days since the last time we met on Sunday and gathered together. And there's busyness. There's sorrow, there's joy, there's all sorts of different things that have happened this week. But what we need now, God, is to hear from you. Lord, we need to hear through your word what it means to know you. God, we want to see the light that is in Christ. We want to be more like Jesus. We want to let his light shine through us. And yet, Father, if you do not move, we will leave here today unchanged. And if we leave here today unchanged, Father, then what's the point? And so we plead with you. Would you glorify, would you hallow your name today? That we might leave this space gathered together today, go out in the world and let the light of Jesus shine through us. Because Father, you know, we know how desperately right now our world needs the light of Christ. How desperately our world needs the kind of people like Jesus that would lay down their life, not only for their friends, but for those who they disagree with, who would sacrificially give and seek the well-being even of their enemies, that the gospel might unite us together. So would you do that today, Lord? Would you help us to be a part of the light and the good in this world, to love, to care for? Lord, would we be zealous to love others and not just zealous to be right in our views over theirs? So help us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that we want to focus on today is letting Jesus' light shine through us. So I want you for a minute just to imagine, and maybe for some of you this is a terrible analogy, but in light of my last couple weeks, I've been using some hand tools and whatnot. I want you to imagine that you go out and you buy a drill. Now, many of you guys have used drills, okay? I've got a couple of them. Paul's got one in my office today that if you wanted to take home, that'd be fine too. Imagine you go out and you get a drill, and it's one of those battery-powered drills. You put the battery on it, and it works great. You get this thing, and it's working amazing. You're building. I remember the first time I used an impact driver, which is a drill that also kind of puts pressure on the screw or whatever when you're using it. My mind was blown. I thought I'll never use a regular drill again. This thing is absolutely amazing. Now I want you to imagine though, you put that drill away. It's been a number of days, a number of weeks, maybe even a number of months. And you go and get that drill, that battery powered drill. You leave the battery behind and you grab your extension cord and you try to plug it into that drill. And you're hitting the button and nothing's happening. It's not working. Now think for a minute that you went and bought a corded drill, okay, with a cord and a plug that would work with a power cord, but you try to use that corded drill with a battery, and nothing happens. And so what happens? The project that you were going to work on, whatever you were going to be doing with that tool, you're frustrated. Maybe you're banging your head against the wall, whatever happens. And the simple point is this, is that utilizing the right source of power is the only effective way to use a drill, but it's also the only effective way to live the Christian life. Man, if we're living this life, trying to be lights in this world, and we're trying to do it apart from Jesus, we're going to fail. We're going to be frustrated over and over and over again. And so that's going to bring us to our big idea this morning. And our big idea this morning that we're going to see in the text is that Christians, as Christians, we are to live so that the light of Jesus shines through us. As Christians, we are to live in such a way that it becomes clear, manifestly clear, clear for the world around us to see that what's going on with us is that Jesus' very own light of life is working itself through us. And we're going to see that in four primary ways today. We're going to see it by just taking a moment and to look at the fact that it actually must be Jesus' light in us. That's what Paul says, that we've got to do that. We're going to see that one of the ways that Jesus' light shines through us is as we do not become partners with those living in darkness. We're going to explain all of these. We're also going to see that another way that the light of Jesus works through us, lives through us, is that we live our lives proving, demonstrating that God's ways are good ways. And finally, we're going to see that the light of Jesus shines through us as we expose the deeds of darkness, expose sin to be unfruitful. And we'll think about that, unhelpful. What do those things mean? And so with that, I'm going to read for us our text this morning. So if you have your Bibles, again, we're in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 through 14. If not, we're going to have the sermon text up here on the screens for you this morning. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." So again, our big idea that we're going to see in this text today is that as Christians, we are to live so that the light of Jesus shines through us. That brings us to our first point today. And this, guys, as we think about the text, this is the most important point that we're going to hear today. This is the most important thing that we're going to take away from the text today. And it might be an obvious one, but look at verse 8. Paul says, "You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So notice before Paul commands us that we are to walk as children of light. Now you may be asking yourself, what does that even mean to walk as children of light? Like, are we to put on ourselves some sort of glowing jacket so that as we walk down the road, right, maybe at night you've got the reflectors on and you're lit up? That's not what it means. Though it's not a bad idea if you're walking down the road at night to wear some sort of reflection. No, the idea of walking is how you live your life. Paul is telling us here that we are to live our life as children of light, but before he says that, he says, here's why. You were formerly darkness. This is what used to define you. This is the way that you used to be described. This was what was true of you. But now you are light, he says. But how are you light? And where are you light? We are light in the Lord. So that as Paul commands us to walk as children of light, to live our life in a certain way, the most fundamental and important thing that we can understand is the only way that happens is if we are light in the Lord. If the very light that is in us, the very light that we are to walk in, is the light of the Lord Jesus himself. And so this is something that is at the very heart of the Christian faith. And we can make this statement. The life of the Christian is the life of Christ in the Christian. You get that? So what does it mean for me to be a Christian, to live the Christian life? The life of the Christian, the life that we are to live as followers of Jesus, the life of the Christian is the very life of Christ, of Jesus himself in us, working through us. This is why Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." And this is why. If you ever drive by, if you ever look on your way in, right? We got that sign out there and that big sign box, and it says Gospel Grace Church. And then on the bottom, there's a tagline. Making much of Jesus in Woodstock. We're not here to make much of ourselves. We're not here to make much of anything but Jesus. And here's the glory in that. Jesus is somebody worth making much of. I just think about the fractured nature of our world right now and the pain on both sides of whatever disagreement there might be. And all we see is people hurling insults back and forth at each other. And the only way it seems like that our world can envision things going right is if there is the defeat of the enemy. If they can just put down and belittle the other side. But that's not the way Jesus was. Jesus saw his enemies, and you know what he did? He laid down his life for them. Jesus, knowing full well the righteous judgment of his Father, hung on the cross, and when people spit at him and they were gambling for his clothes, here is a man dying, a righteous man dying on the cross, and they are gambling for his clothes. The criminals beside him are hurling insults at him. And I'll tell you what, if I was Jesus, and I had the power that Jesus had, there probably wouldn't be one person left on earth, which is why it's so good that we don't. You know what Jesus did? Nailed to the cross because of our sin. Nailed to the cross, gasping for breath, crucified, asphyxiation coming over him, struggling to breathe, knowing that he's dying. Jesus cries out to his Father, "Father, forgive them." Father, the guy that took the hammer and nailed my hands to the cross. Father, the man who enjoyed putting that spike through my feet. The ones who mocked me. Those who plucked my beard out. Those who took my clothes. Those who took that crown of thorns and pressed it on my head until it dug in and blood dripped. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus is worth making much of. Because we've all been the Roman soldier who nailed his hands and his feet. By virtue of our brokenness and sin, we've all been the ones who mocked Jesus. Have you ever done something willingly that you knew to be against God's will? Then we have slapped him in the cheek. And what we deserve by judgment is an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. We hung Jesus on the cross, and so we deserve to be put to death. But Jesus is the one who tells us, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, to everyone who slaps you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. Why? Because when we slapped his cheek, when we nailed him to the cross, when we sinned against God's holiness, Jesus took the punishment that was due to us, and he calls us to do the same. And so the first and most critical thing that we need to understand this morning is that if we're going to be light, we can't be our own light. We're fallen. We're broken. Do you remember what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2? That we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. And so if we try to go through this life living by our own strength, we try to do this on our own, we don't look to Jesus, we don't plead with God through his Holy Spirit to have the life of Jesus in us, then all we are going to do is add to the brokenness of this world. All we're going to do is add to the hatred that's out there. All we're going to do is add to that great divide that is splitting humanity. Those of us, all of us created in God's image. All of us created to be our brother's keeper. And if we don't have the light of Jesus shining through us, then we're going to add to that. But if we will humble ourselves and say, God, you know what I really need? I need less of me and way, way more of Jesus. I need less Nate trying to figure out how to fix this broken world. And what I need to do is humble myself and get on my face before the Lord and plead with him and say, God, what I need is the light of Christ in me. And only then will we be able to be what Jesus calls us to be on the Sermon on the Mount. When he says to us, you are the light of the world. Sometimes I look at myself and I think when I read that, are you kidding me, Jesus? You want me, like me, the light of the world? And Paul says, yeah, this is how. You've got to be light in the Lord. Jesus, remember, I am the light of the world. Whoever comes to me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so the first thing, if we're going to be the light of the Lord, if we are going to be the light of the world, the first thing that Jesus says we've got to do is come to him. So maybe you're sitting here today. Maybe you've been religious. Maybe you've been a churchgoer. Maybe this isn't your first time sitting in the pews. Maybe you've been going your whole life, but have you come to Jesus? Have you come to Jesus? Like, have you said, I'm making a mess of this, and he's glorious? Have you said, it seems like I get involved with people, and like it's just blowing up left and right, but I look at Jesus, and I see him bringing people together. I see him healing people. I see a church, his body, a group of people from all kinds of different backgrounds, and Jesus brings them together. And so the most fundamentally important thing that we can hear today is that it must be Jesus' light that shines through us. And if we're gonna do that, the first thing that we have to do is we have to humble ourselves and we have to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. If you haven't come to Jesus, what's keeping you from coming to Jesus? We'll get back to that question in a minute. Now, the next thing that we want to notice is that we don't let the light of Jesus shine through us by not becoming partners with those who live in darkness. Look at verses 7 and 8. And actually, I'll click back so we can get to verses 7 and 8. Paul says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now this statement here, do not be partakers with them. More literally translated, it says, don't become partners with them. Now, it's so easy for us to think about this and go, okay, I'm not supposed to sin. That's true, but that's not what Paul's talking about right here. It's not primarily what Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about our relationship with those who walk in darkness. Because notice what he says. Do not become partakers with them. He's talking about people. Now this gets to a fundamental reality about humanity and who we are. We have been created as relational beings, which means that the people that we hang out with and the way that we hang out with people massively affects who we are. And so this is what Paul is telling us. We are to live as light. We are to let the light of Jesus shine through us. And one of the most important ways that we can do that is to not become partners with people who live in darkness. Now let me tell you what Paul is not saying. Okay, Paul is not saying that we shouldn't hang out with unbelievers. That if somebody's not a Christian and somebody's not coming to church, that we cannot hang out with them. That's not at all what the Apostle Paul has in mind. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 10, Paul writes to them. Because the church in Corinth, this church that Paul writes to, now it's funny, right? We think of this and it's the Bible. And we've got these references, 1 Corinthians, as if this is written to a group of people. A group of people who, just like us, will struggle in their day-to-day life, who will struggle with sin. A group of people who they're going to hear Paul tell them, hey, don't become partners with people who walk in darkness. And one of the ways that we can react to that is go, yeah, you're right. You know what I should do? I should never, ever be around a non-Christian. Like, that's a good way not to become partners with them. And so that something like that was going on in Corinth, because this is what Paul says. Listen to what Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 10. I wrote to you in my letter, Paul says, not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with the idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. What Paul is saying is, He told the church at Corinth, don't associate with immoral people. And what he meant was, those people who are coming to church, who are claiming the name of Christ, who are saying to the world by being a part of the church, hey, we're light in the Lord, and then they're living in immoral darkness, they're living in sin. Paul says, don't associate with them. But Paul says, listen, it's not that I want you to avoid unbelievers. That's not at all the case, because you remember what Jesus commissioned his church. At the end of Matthew's gospel, before Jesus ascends to heaven, he tells us, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples, which implies that these people we're supposed to go to are not yet followers of Jesus. And we must go to them. We must make disciples. We must let the light of Jesus shine through us in such a way that people can come to know who Jesus is. So what is Paul saying in this text in Ephesians? Do not become partners with them. Paul is saying this. We should not live our lives in such a way that we identify with those who are walking in darkness, who are living in sin. We should not identify with them in such a way that causes us to live like that. We should be so identified with Jesus. We should see our identity as children of light who have the light of the Lord in them, so that when we're around them, we are not swayed by them to darkness, but by God's grace could have sway on them to light. He says, do not become partners with them who walk in darkness. He doesn't say don't go around them. In other words, what he's saying is walk as children of light. So if you're like me, that brings up a question. What does that even mean? What does it mean that Jesus is the light of the world? How should we understand that term light? Well, there's some references from the scriptures that are helpful. Listen to Psalm 104, verses 1 through 2. The psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as a cloak. Or again, Psalm 4:6. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Like, where are we going to see good in this world? Lift up the light of your countenance, O Lord, upon us. The idea being this, that part of what light means and refers to is God's glorious and good character. The psalmist says, where are we going to see good? Like, where am I going to see good? And then he goes, oh, Lord, lift up the light of your countenance on us. In other words, the light of the Lord refers to God's goodness to minister to his people, that God alone is good. Or we also know, and we're going to hear it in just a minute from Psalm 36, verse 9, that light can refer to the life of God. The life of God that is for his people to have true life. Listen to Psalm 36, verse 9. For with you, with the Lord, is the fountain of life. Let's just pause there for a moment. Does that sound good? Fountain of life? And we're not talking about the fountain of youth that just helps us look young in these bodies. We're talking about life. Have you ever thought about this? What does it mean to really live? Is it just to be alive in our physical bodies? Or have you ever been alive in your physical body? And you have, because you're all here. So you're alive in your physical body right now. But have you ever been alive in your physical body and just felt like this? Something's missing. This isn't right. I just feel unsatisfied, unfulfilled. Something ain't right. And so when we hear about life, when we hear that with the Lord is the fountain of life, what it means is the fullness of what it means to live. The fullness of what it means to be in the very image of God. When the Bible talks about life and eternal life, it doesn't just mean living forever. Because I don't know about you guys, living forever in this state seems more like punishment than reward. Living forever, never overcoming our struggles, does not seem like gift and blessedness, but like curse. But that's not the life that the Bible promises. That's not the life that Jesus came to give. What he came to give was true life, eternal life, which means not just longevity. Think, when you hear eternal life, think of this. The life of the eternal God giving me fullness of life. That's what we're talking about. In you, with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. You see the correlation between life and light there? Finally, light can oftentimes refer to not just God's glorious and good character that we saw, not just God's life, but it can refer to the way that God instructs us to know his character and to receive his life, and that is through walking in light of his revelation, in light of his word. So listen to this. Psalm 119, verse 105. Did you guys know that there was a psalm with over 105 verses? I think it's got over 150 verses. That's a big psalm, and it is amazing and well worth the time to read. But listen to this, just one verse out of it. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You ever tried walking? We used to live in Northern California, and one of the things I used to love to do as a kid was we had a friend who would, one of my mom's friends, she would babysit us, and she would always take us out after a good rain to this place called Redwood Park. We lived in the Redwoods. There were all of these trails. There were creeks, but you had to be careful, because you know what redwood trees have? They grow right below the surface, like massive roots, roots the size of Josh and size of, just big roots. They grow in the ground, and you know what sometimes happens is it pushes that ground up, and you walk through that path, and you gotta be careful. So could you imagine never having been to Redwood Park in Arcata, where I grew up, having never been there, going out in the middle of a pitch dark night and trying to walk down one of those paths? You hit a root, fall down, could end up in a creek, could end up hitting some big knot on the side of a redwood tree, and redwood trees, guys, they're big. They're unforgiving. They're not moving. And this says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so I want to ask you guys this morning, have you embraced that? Like, do you feel that way this morning, that I'm walking blind through the world without the word of God? And that means this, I will get hurt. Not just physically hurt, but like spiritually hurt, emotionally hurt, sometimes physically hurt, because sin leads us to do not smart things. Not smart things. So this morning, we see that a part of what it means to walk in the light of God is to affirm this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You put yourself in that trail. It's pitch dark. You can't see a thing. And God says, here's what I'm going to do for you. I got this glowing lamp. It's bright. It's going to be right on your feet and you can see where you're going. Or what happens? We grope through this world, struggling, trying to walk in darkness. And we wonder over and over again, why do I keep knocking my head on something? Why do I keep stumbling here? Why have I fallen time and time and time again? And the simple truth is this, we have not let the word of God be a light to our path. So Paul tells us, you were formerly in darkness. Hey, before Jesus, you went to the cupboard to get the lamp and there was no lamp. It wasn't there. But now in Jesus, God says, here's the cupboard, here's the lamp. Let me help you. Like, how much time have you spent in this today, yesterday, this week, this year? How much time have you said, God, I'm walking through this world blind. Will you help me? And do you know what this talks about? Every word and every sentence in this points us to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who said, I am the light of the world. And so we read this. And we behold God's glory in the face of Jesus, and it makes us more like him. It allows his light to shine through us so that when we come to this decision, and it's like, oh, what do I do in this moment? We begin to see a little more clearly. And all of a sudden, there's something working inside of you. By the way, we call him the Holy Spirit. He's working inside of you. He's illuminating, he's lighting things up, and you're like, oh, well, I could do this, but it would be more loving to that person to do that. And then not just, oh, this would be better than that, but do you know what the Spirit does? You know what it means to walk in light? You're like, oh, this is weird. This is new for me. I want to be more loving. We don't get that, though, without the light. And so when Paul calls us to walk in the light of the Lord, he's saying what we need to do is we need to embrace the glorious and good character of God that he has revealed to us in sending Jesus, his Son. We need to then also know, like, our life, this true life to truly live is to come to Jesus. I'm the light of the world. Those who come to me, Jesus says. And finally, we need to know where God has revealed his will to us. And it's in the word of God that testifies to the Son of God. Now, I'm going to click through. Here we go. Next point. We are to let the light of Jesus shine through us by proving the goodness of God's ways. Look what Paul says in verse 9, what we're called, he says, end of verse 8, walk as children of light, and then verse 9, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then he says this, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Trying to learn, it's this interesting word. in Greek, which is what the New Testament was written. It's this interesting word. And the idea is, it's not like trying to learn, like I'm going, okay, I'm trying to learn what, you know, 2 + 2 is, or maybe that's a good analogy, I don't know. The idea is this though. It's proving the nature of something. It's proving the goodness of something through testing, through trial maybe, but it's like this experiential kind of a thing. Now, we got to step back and ask ourselves a question. Does this mean that we need to like prove that God's ways are good? Is that what this means? But that's not what Paul's saying. What Paul's saying is this, is that as we walk as children of light, as we walk following Jesus, walking in the ways of Jesus, as we do that, what will happen is this, is that we will see over and over and over again as we're faced with those decisions. Do I walk in the path of Jesus? Do I try to have light to my feet so that I can see, therefore, the path in front of me? Or do I follow my flesh? Do I follow the ways of the world? And as we plead with God that Jesus would work through us, and we make those choices that are like, I'm going to follow Jesus on this one. I'm coming to him. He said he has a life. What happens then is we prove that God's ways are good by experiencing them, by those around us seeing that like, oh, their way of life is helpful to them. So a part of what it means to be the light of this life, guys, a part of what it means is this. It means that we live our lives trusting Jesus, and then this is something that happens. It will be demonstrated through us that God's ways are good ways. So here's a question. Do you believe that this morning? Or, and this is where we can struggle, do God's commands just seem like a prison sentence to you? Because if that's the case, we've misunderstood the very purpose of Scripture, of God's commands. And most importantly, if you feel like God's commands are like a prison to you, you've misunderstood Jesus. Did you know that Jesus in John's gospel is referred to as the eternal word of God? God's eternally, it's how God communicates to us most fully is through Jesus' son. You want to know what God wants from you? You want to know what God loves? You want to know who God is and what he's like? You look to Jesus. That's the way God communicates to us. And so that every command in Scripture that we get is fulfilled in Jesus, which means this. Think about it this way. If we want to know what it really looks like to obey God, what would it look like for Nate Prater to faithfully obey God? It would look like me looking like Jesus. That's what it would look like. And so the question is this, do you believe that God's ways are good ways? Do you believe, and here's one thing, just to let this maybe hang here, do you believe that your greatest good today, right now in this moment, and every day forward from this point on, your greatest good is to be more like Jesus? If you believe that, then you believe that God's ways are good. You may not know that. If you believe that your greatest good is to be more like Jesus, the one who is love. Jesus doesn't have to become more and more loving. Jesus is pure love and kindness and goodness and righteousness and truth. And if you believe that it's your greatest good to become more and more like that, then you believe that God's ways are good. Because Jesus is in person God's ways lived out before us. So a part of the way that the light of Jesus shines through us is that we, even though there are times, right? Because guys, we have sin. Anybody experience that? We've got sin going on in here. There are times when we know, okay, this is God's way, and my heart says, don't want to do that. You ever been there? Yeah, smack your heart around at that moment. Because your heart's trying to lead you to the realm of decay, destruction, death. Your heart, Jeremiah tells us, is deceitful above all else. The most persuasive, let's just say cult leader, okay? You love these cult leaders out there. The most persuasive cult leader, the most silver-tongued devil out there has nothing on the power of your own heart to deceive you. So what do we do? Oh, that's terrifying. God says, don't worry. Remember, my word is a lamp to your feet and a light to the path. Because right after that in Jeremiah, God says, but I, the Lord, search your heart. That's good news. God's got you. God does not want you going down some trail that's going to leave you all mucked up in the mire, filthy and smelling terrible, and just unable to live the way you're supposed to because you just walked into a tar pit. Now it's all sticky, and that's not what he wants for you. He wants good for you. We need to live our lives in such a way that we walk by faith, which means this. We choose to follow Jesus moment by moment. We're going to fail. That's okay. Jesus died on the cross for that. You're going to fail. You know that? Like, you're here today. You're coming to church. Maybe you're thinking, this week's going to be great. I went to church. This is awesome. You're going to fail. And when you do, this is what God wants from you. Lift your eyes to the cross. Hear Jesus praying for you. Hear Jesus right now in the throne of heaven before the Father pleading for you. When the devil, Satan, the accuser says, look at their sin, Jesus speaks a better word. Look at my blood, Father. You think our sin is stronger than his blood? Jesus is there praying for you. So walk in his ways. Believe his ways are good. And when you fall, look to the cross and hear. Not just some out there abstract truth. No, hear the voice of the Savior who is praying for you right now. If you're here today, you're a Christian, you've trusted Jesus, you've given your life to him, the most powerful being in the universe pleads on your behalf. And if Jesus prays for you, then who cares who's against you? Because the Father ain't listening to them. He's going to listen to Jesus. That's what he does. So let's prove the goodness of God's ways by walking in them. Now, the next thing, and this can be the most tricky, and this is our last one. We'll be finished up here just in a few minutes. We want to let the light of Jesus shine through us by exposing the deeds of darkness. Just hear sin. We're supposed to expose sinful acts as being unhelpful, unfruitful. Look at what Paul says here. Verse 11. Let me just, I'll click back there so we can see it on the board if you don't have your Bible with you. Verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. So Paul says, don't do that. Guys, here, this is simple. This is what he said. Don't sin. Not that we're going to do it perfectly, but that's what we should aim for. Don't sin, but instead even expose them. Ooh. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. We don't have to prime the pump on this one, do we? We all have things that are floating through our head right now that are disgraceful even to speak of. Paul says we don't want to be engaged in that. But then he says this, we are to expose the deeds of darkness. So here's the question. Two questions we want to ask. Why? Why expose them? And two, how do we expose them? Okay? And these are important questions. Why do we expose them? Is it because? Ha! Because this is what God's like. Because he's like, look at those sinners down there. And we need to humiliate them. You ever been around somebody like that who tries to reform your behavior by humiliating you or belittling you? Yeah? Somebody who's just, they're just mean. And they think that it's that going to be that meanness that changes you. So is that why we're supposed to expose the deeds of darkness? Not at all. Not in the least little bit. Notice right here what Paul says. Do not participate. And I think that the why we expose them is right there in the word, in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Think about fruit. Especially in the first century world, fruit was produced by trees and growing in an agriculturally based culture. That's your profit. That's everything. And it's good. It's what feeds people. It's what provides for your family. It's what brings about flourishing in the life of people. And Paul says, listen, we're not to participate in sin, but we're to expose it. Why? Because it's unfruitful. In other words, we've got to live in such a way. Not that we're sin hunters. You ever know those people? They're just sin hunters. They're out there looking around like, okay, who's sinning today? Who can I yell at? Who can I wag my finger at? Who can I go after? That's not why we do it. We want to expose these deeds for what they are. They're a lie. They're offering a hope that they cannot, they won't fulfill. Like it's like somebody saying, okay, yeah, go ahead and get that car. I'm going to give you 10 grand. And it never comes. And it never comes. And it never comes. They're unfruitful. And so the why do we expose them? Because they don't help people. Now think about it. How much more in line with the gospel is that? With the love of Jesus. Jesus says, Jesus, you ever notice this? When Jesus says to somebody, go and sin no more, you know what he did usually right before that? Healed them. made them whole, gave them life. And then sometimes all we hear is Jesus saying, go and sin no more. And we see him as this like mean dictator. No, no. He's telling them, I just gave you life. And so I want the grid for how you understand my words. Go and sin no more to be, I want you to go and sin no more because that's life. So what about the how? We've asked why. Why expose them? Because sin breaks people's lives and it shatters them. But how do we expose them? Listen to what Paul says in verse 13. And I'll click one more for that. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. In other words, we are not sin hunters. Don't get out your sin binoculars and go look and see what your neighbors are doing. Yeah, don't peek on your neighbors anyway, right? That's just crazy. Yeah, don't do that, okay? So, but we're not supposed to have the sin binoculars just like, oh, who can I pick on? Or look at them. Or even right now, how easy is it in the midst of all the political turmoil in our world to focus on what's wrong with the people we disagree with? You want to see people change? Follow Jesus. Love Jesus. Trust Jesus. Let that love and trust of Jesus demonstrate that God is actually good, wants what's best for you. Let the light of his word be a light to your feet. Show people how much better it is to navigate this world because of the light of Jesus. And then you know what people are going to go? Like, oh, yeah, maybe my way of life or what I believe or the way I've been trying to live really isn't that helpful. And do you see how light exposes darkness? Without ever yelling at somebody and calling them a pathetic whatever. You want people to change, then live a sacrificially loving life that shows them that God's grace comes to the humble. We then close with this verse. We want to expose the deeds of darkness. And verse 14, would you just pray that this week, that people could hear the sovereign voice of Jesus say to them, awake, sleeper? That's what we're looking for with the light of our life, is that through us, the one that we represent as we are ambassadors of Christ, through us, the sovereign Christ himself would speak to people powerfully through our actions, through our words, through our lives, through our imperfect lives, that they would hear the voice of Jesus call out to them, awake, sleeper. And you know what happens when Jesus speaks? It's effective. You cannot get away from the sovereign voice of Jesus. You could try to run. Where could I go from your spirit, Lord? Or where could I flee from your presence? Because if I'm in the depths of the sea, even there you are with me. Like you can't get away from that. And if they hear the voice of Jesus, do you know what happens? They will arise from the dead and Christ himself will shine on them. So, today, would you leave here and commit to walk as children of light? Would you leave here and say, Jesus, I need to come to you. I've been making a mess of this. This should be something we do all the time. All the time. It's called repentance. It's a part of the Christian life. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for today. God, we want to thank you that in your sovereign kindness to us, that you have, Lord, you've given Jesus to us. And that God, we can know you through Christ, and we pray that we would today come to Jesus. Lord, that we would be those who trust in Jesus, that we would see the ways of Jesus as so much better than ours, that we would walk by the light of your word, and that we would have true life, real life, the life of Jesus in us. Would you do that for us today? And for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.